Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. 6 o'clock hour, one more hour left in the show. You can always watch the Triple Option as well as listen, of course. You can go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream and you can check out the Triple Option with RBKD. You also can go to the Twitterverse and you can follow us, and actually you can cyberstalk us if you'd like. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01, the real MVP, BK Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse, and I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. All right, gentlemen, we haven't talked about the NBA playoffs just yet. But there's a lot of excitement surrounding the playoffs, especially for Mavs fans out there. Really excited to get a game one win over the Clippers. And now they lead the series after that 113-103 win over the Clippers. 1-0 in the series. BK, is this foreshadowing what could be to come in this series? Or is this just an outlier and now you've awakened the beast that is the LA Clippers? Oh. And they're going to put the smack down on Luka and the Mavs.
Bring out the brooms, baby. This thing is over. No, I'm kidding.
Easy.
What a performance.
Slow down.
What a game that was.
It was a great
Saturday.
Game.
I mean, the Mavs got off to a great start. They had a double-digit lead early on, but the Clippers came back. And for the last three quarters, this game was very, very intense. And it kind of felt like the Clippers were starting to take control of the game in the fourth quarter. They had like a three-point lead with 6 minutes to go, and the Mavs just closed out strong. Hit some big shots. More importantly, got some big stops on defense. Ended the game on an 18-5 run. How good is Luka, man?
He's great.
Yeah.
I mean, a 30-point triple-double, like it's nothing. Give a lot of love to Dorian Finney-Smith, too. If you're not a Mavs fan, you probably don't know much about him or the type of impact that he's had on this team, but great 3-and-D guy. He added, I think, 18 points, 4 threes for Dodo, as they call him. And he was awesome. It was a great performance by Dallas. And you get your split, right? You get your road win. That's what you're looking for when you're the underdog. You want to come home with a series split, and that's what the Mavs were able to do. KD, I don't know if this qualifies as the Clippers pushing the panic button, but Ty Lue, their coach, has already said that Kawhi Leonard will be guarding Luka Doncic in Game 2. They tried with Patrick Beverley. They tried with Rajon Rondo, like smaller point guard type of defenders, and that just didn't work. Luka picked all those guys apart, so I don't know if that's out of an act of desperation, and hell, the Clippers should be desperate because you don't want to go down 0-2 at home, but we'll see how that affects this series, right? How Luka's able to get his, whether or not that affects Kawhi's game offensively, and whether or not some of the other Mavs have more favorable matchups because they're not having to deal with the Claw.
Yeah, I think it's the right adjustment, and they need to make it now because Kawhi is the guy who needs to guard him. What does it do to him offensively? You just mentioned that, and that certainly is a question. And also, what do you get out of Paul George? I mean, I think that is kind of more the question I have with the Clippers right now. And the Clippers are playing for more than this round. I don't think they're going to win it all. But they built this thing, Rod, to win now and to win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw what happened in the bubble last year. That they don't seem right. But I do think putting Kawhi on Luka is the way to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. Why can't Kawhi and Paul George split time on Luka?
I thought about that as well.
Why is it always a one-man designation? Because if Kawhi gets in foul trouble or Kawhi's offense is adversely affected, you're going to need a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Give me Paul George on Luka.
I know you'll take that.
I'll take that.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, either way, I mean, you just need your best defenders on Luka.
Right.
And we agree Pat Beverley and Rajon Rondo ain't going to get it done. Your two best perimeter defenders. The whole point of this experiment is that it's Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah. Maybe they'll try that, right? I mean, if Luka gets his own against Kawhi or if Kawhi gets in foul trouble, then they'll probably go to Paul George. Like, I don't know if they're going to go back to putting smaller defenders on.
No, that's a mistake.
It just didn't work at all.
Well, and Kristaps Porzingis didn't even have a good game.
No, he didn't do that
much. You thought that they needed him. And last year, the three games that he did play in, I mean, he was phenomenal. And I was thinking, oh, they definitely need him to, you know, have an impact, you know, score some point, be the second leading scorer. He really had an underwhelming game, and they still won by double digits.
Yeah, they shot well. They hit 17 threes, which definitely helps.
The Clippers that's not going to happen again, really.
Yeah, the Clippers also didn't shoot that great from three, so the Clippers will bounce back. I mean, tomorrow's going to be tough. Hell, game one was tough, but if you're Dallas, you're in a good spot. I know they're not going to go in with that mentality of, oh, our work here is done. We've got this road win, so now let's just mail it in, and we'll be split 1-1 going back home, but that's what you want when you're the underdog, when you're the lower seed. You want to get that road victory. Dallas was able to get it done in game one. That was fun, man. That was a lot of fun. But there were a lot of fun games this weekend in the NBA, guys. The big upset last night, the 8-seed Memphis Grizzlies taking game one over the top-seeded Utah Jazz, 112-109 the final. Memphis was up 17 in the fourth quarter. Some people might have gone to bed or changed the channel just figuring this thing was done, but Utah came roaring back. They ended up missing a three pretty much at the buzzer.
I was shocked when I woke up and saw the score.
Yeah, it felt like it was done, but Utah clawed back. But, man, give Memphis some credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on Friday night, we didn't get to talk about this game because it happened after our last show, but they beat Golden State. They pull off the upset in a thriller in overtime, and then they take game one in Salt Lake. No Donovan Mitchell for the Jazz. I don't know if y'all saw earlier today.
Yeah, he's upset.
He's upset about it, and also they've already said he's going to play game two.
Well, okay. Of course he's playing.
So, yeah.
I don't understand what was the miscommunication in game one as to why he was upset. He didn't know he was going to be unavailable?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he missed like the last 17 games.
I know. So, I'm like, I don't know
it wasn't like a huge
was.
Shock when they came out and said he wasn't going to play.
But I guess he figured playoffs, I'm playing.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
He was hoping he'd be cleared.
Yeah, he basically called him out. I don't know if he called him out, but he's upset, or at least that's the report, that he's upset about them benching him. And not benching him, but him, you know, as a medical reason, deciding that he wasn't going to play in game one.
It's always questionable, right? Like, was Utah thinking they could win without Donovan Mitchell?
Probably.
And that when you don't win, I mean, when you win, it's fine. It's all good. You got your superstar, a little bit of extra rest. But when you don't win, it's like, well, could you have played that guy?
Mm-hmm. It's a 1-8. You're supposed to.
Hey, Memphis has already pulled off that upset this
I know.
Year. Sorry, Spurs fans.
Saying.
Hey, Memphis is a good team. And Ja Morant was not fazed at all about his performance in his
Ja Morant
playoffs.
Is fun to watch,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. And Dylan Brooks. He's not just like an average 3-and-D guy anymore. Like, that guy was special last night. So, Utah's going to win the series if they stay healthy, but man, Memphis isn't playing around. There's going to be some good games in that matchup.
Phoenix winning this series, guys?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I thought they'd take game one
because
the Lakers had to invest a lot into that play-in game.
Right.
But no, I mean, Anthony Davis is not going to get worked by DeAndre Ayton three more times.
Davis looked awful.
Yeah. He looked terrible, though.
He's got to be a lot better. I mean, LeBron has to be better. The fact that they only lost that game by 9, and all losses count the same, so you'll take it if you're Phoenix, but the fact that those guys gave you as little as you did, and you were still kind of close in that game, the Lakers are going to be.
AD's frustrating, though. Like, he settles a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Even in that play-in game against Golden State, in the first half, he settles right. He's shooting outside shots. He's shooting three-pointers. They decide to, you know, be more, I'd say more physical down low, be more, I would say, they're focused more about getting in the paint a little bit more and penetrating a little bit more, high-percentage buckets. And I think the second half, he was the leading scorer for the Lakers in that game. And in this game, he starts settling again to shooting three-pointers.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's an injury thing, right? He's still not 100%.
But he's not good at shooting three-pointers.
No, he's always shot more threes than I've wanted him to shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, with a guy that size and that physical, you'd like for him to just go down low and play the traditional big man.
He doesn't want to be a center, though. He
or at least go back to the basket every now and then. He didn't do any of that.
No, he didn't do it at all yesterday, and they need that.
Yeah. Right?
They, like, DeAndre Ayton cannot be better than Anthony Davis in this series. I'll give DeAndre Ayton some love. He played a hell of a game on both sides. But that can't happen. Anthony Davis cannot be getting pushed around by DeAndre Ayton. That's unacceptable. So I think the Lakers are going to win. What about you, KD? I mean, Rod and I gave our picks on Friday while you were out of town, giving you a little bit of an advantage here because you got to see the game once. But you picking the Lakers, or you think Phoenix, weird to say, is a 2-seed, but you think they pull off the upset?
I don't know. After watching last night, it's not going to surprise me. I'm still going to stick with the Lakers, though.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure with the West. I like Brooklyn to win it all.
Yeah, we both picked the Nets, too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a lot of chalk on this show.
That's no fun.
Have you seen the lineup?
Yeah,
have you seen the starting lineup?
That's why I'm picking them.
They're ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
What about the game at the Garden yesterday, guys?
Great game.
I know Bucks Heat went to overtime on Saturday, and that was a fun game, but we can get to that in a second. But I thought the game of the weekend in the NBA was Hawks-Knicks. How about Trae Young? Less than a second to go, the floater to give Atlanta the win in the Garden. It felt like sports were back yesterday.
Yeah.
With what took place at the PGA Championship and the raucous crowds we had there, and then just the Garden. Dude, I would have killed somebody to be at the Garden yesterday. I tweeted that out. People think I was being hyperbolic or kidding around. No, I think I would have killed somebody to be there. Like, that atmosphere looked incredible. And that's one of the meccas in sports. And New York's finally opening up a little bit. ridiculous scene. You had Spike Lee going crazy talking trash to Trae Young. You had Tracy Morgan. The cameras picked him up dancing a little bit during the game. I mean, the stars were out. The fans were going nuts. And then Trae Young silenced him with that shot. Not a bad playoff debut for him. Look, that series, like I said that on Friday, Rod, it doesn't do much for me because I don't think either of those teams is like a threat to make a playoff run. Mm-hmm. But, hell, they seem pretty evenly matched. And if we can get five or six more of those, sign me up right now.
Just the atmosphere alone.
The atmosphere. Yeah. The atmosphere is basically like another superstar, right? It's like you can watch. Like the Knicks may not have the superstar. I mean, they got some star power there. Trae Young is really fun to watch, and I don't think a lot of NBA fans have gotten a chance to see Trae Young. He's fun to watch. He'll launch it from anywhere. He's a great shot maker. He makes a lot of shots with his really high degree of difficulty. But you're right. Madison Square Garden is like a superstar. When you put that arena rocking like that with that type of environment and the Knicks are actually competitive in the point where they're in the playoffs, it can have its own mystique. It can have its own persona.
Yeah.
And it was. It was rocking. Yeah, I was watching it now. People were dancing. I think you got people talking trash to Spike Lee again. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I would watch just to somehow feel like I'm a part or invested emotionally in that environment, in that experience. It was great.
It's been so long. I mean, you got to go back to the 90s when they were really competitive and the fan base felt like they had a chance. And I remember just as a Bulls fan going there, I mean, that mm-hmm. thing was always just a circus. Yeah. And it was going to be loud as hell. Kind of cool to see it.
Did y'all hear Trae Young after the game? We've got the audio here. He was speaking with the TNT guys after he hit the game-winning floater with less than a second to go. By the way, horrible defense. You can't let Trae Young beat you off the dribble. He hit that floater six times prior in that game. You got to do better than that, Knicks, but Knicks going to Knicks, I guess. Here's Trae Young after the game talking about the shot and also the atmosphere at the Garden.
I think it was, you've been in the biggest stages. I mean, when you're in a zone and everybody's chanting F you, I don't know if any of y'all had that, but I've had it a couple times. I had it in college and I had it again tonight, so I mean, it got real quiet at the end, and for me, I wanted to hear those FU chants again.
Mm. Trae Young, I mean, he was giving it to the crowd, too, after that shot, which was cool. I'm all about that.
He only shot three threes.
Chants.
Yeah, he was getting what he wanted off the dribble.
He really was, which is great to see.
Yeah, he's a fun player to watch, man. Sounds like a 12-year-old, but fun player to watch.
He's got some weird hair, too.
Yeah,
he's got to figure out that hairline situation.
It can't be figured out.
It can.
No way.
Enough money.
LeBron figured it out.
Boom. With enough money, you can figure out anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It looks like
I don't know what it is.
A lollipop. You know, that's the meme that they make, a lollipop, but like when hair sticks to it,
right.
Hair's just kind of frizzled all over the place. Like that's the Trae Young hairdo right there. All right, before we talk more NBA and preview what's up next, I got to talk to the people about Altstadt beer. It's the best beer that you can find in Central Texas. Speaking of the NBA, went to the Tavern on Friday. Yeah, the historic Tavern.
Oh.
Got me some Altstadt beer. They had pictures of Altstadt. Was there with some buddies. Made for a fantastic night. Whatever you did this weekend, hopefully you accompanied your good times with the greatness of Altstadt beer. And if you didn't, well, that's okay. You could still pick up a six-pack of Altstadt wherever you shop for beer. And most of your favorite spots, bars, restaurants throughout Central Texas, you can find Altstadt. It's brewed locally in Fredericksburg. Easy to find, as I just mentioned. Brewed using only 4 ingredients, no fillers, no preservatives, none of that filler stuff that you find in other beer brands, even the local craft brews. You don't get that in Altstadt. It's a clean beer. It tastes great, guys. One sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. Go to their website, altstadtbeer.com, for more info, and then get you some on your way home from work today. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. All right, guys, 2 games on the NBA docket tonight. You got Heat-Bucks game 2. Of course, Miami pulling off the upset of Milwaukee in the bubble last year. The top-seeded Bucks fell to the Heat in just 5 games. I mean, Miami made quick work of Milwaukee en route to making it to the NBA Finals. They played a thriller on Saturday. Went to overtime, but ultimately Milwaukee got the win, some late free throws. What are y'all thinking in that series? I mean, I thought Milwaukee was going to just get some revenge and make kind of quick work of Miami, but it feels like playoff Jimmy Butler's a thing again. Jimmy, it feels like the Heat, even though they struggled during the regular season, like they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. Where are y'all leaning in that one, Rod? Did you maybe change your mind a little bit with what you saw in game one? How are you feeling about that series?
Nah, I'm going to stick with the Milwaukee Bucks, but I could see, like you said, playoff Jimmy. I could see him stepping up, man, and actually making life difficult for the Bucks. The Bucks are in a do-or-die situation. I think I got to bet on desperation, and I think they're going to play desperate. They have to, because now the expectations are starting to become a bit of a prison for the Bucks. They've performed really well. I think they've really set the standard, right? I think now, other than the finals, everything else is a failure for them. They don't reach the finals. Oh, that's a failure. And for me, if I'm looking at the Bucks right now in the East and looking at the competition level they got to face, if they don't make it this year, they might have to blow that whole damn thing up.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't make it this year with the power balance shifted the way it did into the West. I don't know when they're going to do it then.
I'm not sure what else they can try, right?
Exactly.
They went out and got Drew Holiday. Like, their roster's very, very good, and they already have a ton of money invested in Giannis and Middleton.
Added PJ.
And they added PJ at the deadline. I mean, it's, like, realistically, I don't know how much more they could do.
Yeah,
yeah.
The East is better this year, I think, than it was last year, right? Because you didn't have Brooklyn to deal with last year.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
And you still have good Philly, point. Too, is the top seed in the East. Like, I'm with Rod, KD. It's finals or bust for the Bucks, but I'd put them third in the pecking order of the top three in the East right now.
Yeah, it's at least the Eastern Conference Finals. But for them, the way they've set this up, it does feel like get to the NBA Finals or bust. I'm taking Milwaukee in this thing. Miami just hadn't been the same team. I mean, Tyler Hero, there are questions about where his head was. A lot of the guys that were playing real well last year, it seemed like that success went to their head. Jimmy Butler was calling them out throughout the year and saying, we're soft. We are not the same team. We've got issues, and I think Milwaukee takes.
What if the bubble helped Miami though last year too?
It could have. Yeah,
bubble helped some teams, hurt some teams. I think it might have helped.
It hurt the Clippers.
It hurt the Clippers, exactly.
Man, I feel so bad for Tyler Hero.
Why?
Because
he's living a good life.
Well, he's going to be known as the guy the Heat wouldn't trade for James Harden. Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Which was ridiculous at the time. Like, the Heat just got sucked into his ridiculously good bubble performance last year. And they're like, oh, this guy's going to be a cornerstone player for us.
Yeah.
No. He's just very average. And you could have gotten James Harden for that dude.
Wow.
He'd be the title favorites instead of Brooklyn, probably.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anything,
man.
It would take
that
away.
That's
subtraction and addition there. You add on, but then also you're not having to take on the Nets.
Even with this performance, though, you still should have made that deal.
I know. Everyone was saying that, but they weren't saying that.
Wow.
And Houston was down for that.
Houston, yeah, I mean, it would have been Hero and some other things.
Okay.
It would have been like a package centered
around Pat Riley still
Hero.
Running the show
yeah,
down
Yeah, I know.
There?
Can you believe that?
Wow, Pat Riley. Yeah, okay.
The other game tonight, by the way, Blazers, Nuggets, Portland going for that 2-0 road series lead. They got the win in Denver game one. That one should be fun. Playoffs are awesome, man.
Yeah.
I get if you're down on NBA regular season basketball. Hell, as much of it as I watch, I'm kind of down on NBA regular season basketball, but playoff basketball is special, man.
Totally agree.
We got a great taste of it over the weekend, and we're just getting started. Going to be fun. There's no, like, obvious winner this year either. Like, the Nets are the favorite, but they're not Golden State with Durant, Steph, and Clay. There's a chance that thing falls apart. So, fun to watch. And we'll be talking about it here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I am BK. When we return, we'll have the BK Lounge. We got some Dallas Cowboys news to talk about. Could a perennial All-Pro, potential Hall of Famer, be headed to Dallas in the not-too-distant future? We discuss next.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it
in 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. May 24th, 20 and 21 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn. and Rob Abers. I am BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. All right, real quick, guys, to start off today's BK Lounge, I want to wish a happy birthday to the late, great Sean Adams.
Yeah.
Would have been a birthday for him today. Mm. We all worked with him. We all knew him very well. Obviously, a very, very important figure in the Austin sports radio business for a number of years. Lost his life way, way, way too soon back in 2017. Still think about him all the time. So happy birthday to the late, great Sean Adams. And hope the fam and all who were close to Sean are doing well. I know this day can't be easy and probably never will be, too.
Just an amazing guy. Would have been 50.
Yeah.
Yep. That would have been it. That would have been it. So, man, that hurts.
Yeah.
I love that dude.
That's
man.
A reminder. Yeah, I think we all did. It's just a reminder to just to enjoy life every day.
Amen. Never know.
Yeah.
Never know. Tell your peoples you love them, man. You can never say it enough. You can never say it enough.
And Sean did do that.
Yeah, he was good at that.
He would reach out guys. And tell you.
Yeah, he
you
was.
Know. Yeah.
I agree with that.
No doubt about that. All right, guys. So, did y'all see this over the weekend? Some guy named Mike Starkey tweeted a picture of himself and Julio Jones on Saturday with the caption, "Met Julio Jones in Dallas wearing a Cowboys jersey. Wouldn't be mad." And he tagged Adam Schefter in the tweet. Julio Jones was not wearing a Cowboys jersey, but he was wearing a Dallas Cowboys hoodie.
Yeah.
Like an officially licensed, team-issued Dallas Cowboys hoodie walking around Dallas. And this thing blows up, right? Understandably so. Oh, my God, Julio Jones. Like, he's not a free agent, but is he disgruntled in Atlanta? And does he want to come to Dallas? Is this where he wants to be? Is he trying to force a trade to Dallas? Is he pulling an Earl Thomas here, sending a message to the Cowboys saying, come get me? That blew up, and I was freaking out. I was like, oh, my God. I know the Cowboys don't need another wide receiver, but hey, if you can get Julio Jones for maybe not that much, if he, like, really wants to come play for you, then you absolutely have to pick up the phone and see what the hell's going on there. So that happens. And then this morning, guys, on Undisputed, which is Skip Bayless's program, everyone's favorite Skip Bayless, also one with the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp apparently is boys with Julio Jones. I mean, Shannon Sharp is close with a lot of players in the league. And during a live broadcast of Undisputed this morning, Shannon Sharp called Julio Jones. I don't know if this was a setup or if this was fixed. It sounded pretty natural. And here's the audio of that phone call. Shannon Sharp calling Julio Jones to ask about that picture and to ask about the situation in Atlanta.
You watching Julio?
I really hope he answers here.
Julio, have the guts to pick up the phone.
What's happening?
Yeah.
All right.
Julio.
Hold on. Let me put you on the phone. Can you hear me?
I got you. This is your favorite uncle. What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. I'm about to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
Man, look. You want to go to the Cowboys, Julio? Or you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man. No, I'm out of there, man.
He's out of there.
Are you going to... Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. We don't go to Dallas. If you go, you ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Man, listen, come on, man. You already know. I know.
Okay.
Can you remind him we're on television?
Ask him why we're in Dallas.
Listen, You know how people is, man, with all that going on with the picture?
Yeah.
And all that stuff like that.
Okay.
Man, I ain't never been on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's good enough. Yeah. Julio, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling me back. We on air, but I appreciate you calling me, dog. You know I know my nephew was going to pick up.
Oh, yeah, nah. I ain't going to Dallas, man. I never thought about going to Dallas.
Okay. I appreciate that, bro. Enjoy the rest of your day.
So that happened during live television.
Shouldn't you let him know beforehand that we're on the air?
Yeah. You can't say a minute into the call that you're on live TV.
Ugh.
I mean, thankfully, Julio Jones didn't cuss or anything like that, and he didn't say anything.
That's why
to...
I think it was a setup.
Right.
Yeah,
there's right.
The likelihood of you talking to somebody you're really close to and never dropping anything inappropriate at all, not saying like, oh, man, what do you mean? People don't always speak with, you know, cuss words and derogatory terms when they talk. No, but I can tell you right now from the way that Julio Jones speaks, he's very casual.
Yeah.
And even that conversation was really casual. Yeah. He would have dropped something. That, in my opinion, is probably something that was premeditated between them two. Julio Jones, we know now, has already asked for a trade. He asked for a trade a while ago. This was him getting out to the public forum in the court of public opinion that I also want to trade. Because most people don't know he's already asked for a trade. Mm-hmm. They don't know that.
Yeah,
now they know.
Kind of got swept aside.
Now
right?
they know.
So many other big stories in the NFL.
Exactly.
Julio Jones just hasn't been talked about as much. But now he's being talked about. But I agree with you 100%, Rod. Like that. That was set up.
It was set up.
It probably was. I think you're
smart
right about that.
Smart move, too, though, by the way.
Yeah. There is a perfect fit for me. And, Rod, I did get into your phone, and I got a number. BK has it right now. I hope he dials it up. We're going to play this same game. You're going to call one of your boys, Kyle Shanahan, and we're going to see if he's down to go get Julio Jones. You know, he's got the connection with Julio.
They
could definitely use him. That'd be a great fit.
I don't think he likes those kind of receivers right now, though.
Yeah, I know.
Think about the kind of receivers he's bringing in. Deebo Samuels and Julio Jones are different types of receivers. So is Brandon
Ayuk. So compliment him.
You could, but it seems like he's going a different way with the offense, right? Doesn't it seem like he's going to more positionless football with his wide receivers and raw receivers with rushing yards, that kind of thing. And that's not really Julio Jones. But
I wouldn't
mind
a receiver with receiving yards, too.
No, I agree. I think he's getting to that. These guys have that dual ability to also affect you once the ball is in their hands. I don't know if that's Julio.
Yeah, you obviously have the history with Julio and Shanahan, right?
He's got a history.
During their time in
Atlanta. What are they going to trade for him? They gave up. They already gave up a ton just to move in the draft to get Trey Lance. What are they going to give up now to go get a 33-year-old wide receiver?
Turned into the Houston Rockets.
After you drafted two first-round wide receivers?
Yep.
That sounds like great roster management. Come on.
Trey Lance, like, is that a guaranteed? I get the Cowboys aren't a guaranteed winner by any stretch of the imagination, but is this version of San Francisco, like, is that good enough for Julio Jones?
I don't know.
Does he want something even more of a sure thing in San Francisco, which is weird because the Niners were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, but just with the quarterback questions, we don't know exactly how good they're going to be. Does Julio Jones want a more likely winner than that?
Ravens could be a good fit.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Titans could be a good fit.
And Ravens want to say, but then would he want to go play with Lamar? We've had like four receivers who've been offered more money in free agency to play with Lamar Jackson, turn it down because they don't want to play with Lamar Jackson.
They're not sure he can fit it in there deep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. Almost as bad as Chad talking about his family being, what did he say today? He said they're, what's the term?
What?
Were you like on the prowl?
Oh, no. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, I don't either.
Get myself in trouble.
I don't either.
Getting that number two all up.
Is that what he was talking about?
No.
Okay.
No.
And Ho's got fisted.
Not that one either.
Not that one either.
Cruising. He said they're cruisers. Meaning they like to go on cruises. And Trey was like, I don't think you know what that term means.
They're cruise.
Family, a bunch of cruisers. Mom, dad, always cruising the strip.
That's got to get the laugh track in there. Julio Jones is 32, guys.
Okay.
He played 9 games last year, missed the other 7 with an injury to his foot. The Falcons are apparently asking for a first-round pick in return for Atlanta.
Wow.
Adam Schefter tweeted out saying, others around the league don't think Atlanta's going to get that.
No.
So if you're a contending team and you're likely to be picking late in the first round next year, would you give up your 20-something pick? Julio Jones.
What team? Depends how close I am.
Yeah, it depends on the team.
If I'm one away, then maybe.
I think he'd be a great fit. Honestly, I know this sounds crazy because Shanahan and him are doing some of the similar things, but I think the Rams will be a better fit than what Shanahan's doing right now with his 21 personnel with Kyle Juszczyk and Kittle. I think the Rams with Stafford, I think he wants to go to a more downfield passing game. What he thought he was going to get with Jared Goff and Brandon Cooks, and he never truly got that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that fit.
I'll tell you what, if I'm Goody, the Packers GM, I'm afraid to say his last name because it doesn't sound
Goody.
I try this. Like Aaron Rodgers feels disrespected. He's mad that you never draft a wide receiver for him. Will Julio help?
Right.
We'll trade our first-round pick for Julio if you come back. Like I don't know. Like that's something you have to do if you really want him back. Like that should be a phone. I don't know if you have any other better options at wide receiver right now.
That's I like that idea, though.
So, we'll see if that one happens right there. But Julio Jones wants out. He was wearing a Cowboys hoodie over the weekend, but then he goes on a TV show and says he doesn't want to play for the Cowboys. The Cowboys don't need Julio. That'd be a waste of a first-round pick.
It's seriously,
I mean, you have too many wide receivers. There's no need to add.
Unless you're just trading Amari for him almost straight up with some other capital.
Yeah.
And then now what's the point? Hey, just get an older wide receiver.
Who's also high price. Who's making more money than Amari?
I don't know.
That's not a good deal at all.
That's not a great deal.
It does seem like there have been a lot of guys, considering that Dallas has not been winning a ton in the last quarter century, that there's still a lot of guys that grow up and they're just Cowboys fans. Because he's not the only one we've seen.
Micah Parsons said.
Guys are like, man, I'm just a Cowboys fan.
It's the brand, man.
It is.
It's amazing that it's lasted this long considering they've won as little as they've won. But there's the marketing genius of Jerry Jones. Not a football genius, marketing genius, no doubt. So there you go, Julio Jones. We'll see what happens there, but pretty bizarre twist in that
story. So much left unsettled. On the NFL season, and on a lot of these teams are supposed to be contenders.
They dominate the sports calendar, man.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. It's late May, and NFL headlines are everywhere.
During the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. During the NBA playoffs.
Trade rumors with the NFL.
And a lot of these shows that I don't watch usually because I'm here that I watched a little bit during the break that I know that they try and push the NBA because it's part of ESPN.
Yeah.
Even those guys were like, look, we're going to give it a little bit, and there's probably a time now to talk about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they were still talking
about it. Exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about Trey Young and Luka, and let's get back to the NFL.
NFL.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, we'll take a break. That's the BK Lounge here on the Triple Option with RBKD. When we return, we'll wrap up the show and tell you what's on tap.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your
stomach? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That's...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are getting ready to wrap things up. Before we do that, we got to let you know what's on tap. Before we let you know what's on tap, go check out hornfm.com if you missed any part of any of the shows. And you can catch up with all of them on the podcast page. You also can watch any of the shows at hornfm.com. All you got to do is tap into the Twitch stream there. Really quickly, before we let everybody know what's on tap, I was talking to KD about this earlier. We do know that A&M is looking for a baseball coach now.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendall Rogers reported this, so I'll make sure I give him credit. He is reporting that Texas Tech is signing Tadlock to a lifetime contract.
They tried to do that with Chris Beard.
Wow.
And, you know, I'll give Kirby Hokut a lot of credit. He knew that Texas was going to be interested in Tadlock and specifically as an infield hitting coach and that maybe that could be a long-term deal once Augie left.
Yeah.
So he jumped on that, and now they want to keep him. BK, he did play. I mean, he did play at Tech. He's a Tech alum, so it wouldn't totally shock me. And also getting to know Tadlock just a little bit, also very much a country guy, to where I could see Lubbock would be more appealing than Austin.
Hard to criticize Tech.
You don't hear that a lot.
I know. Well, I disagree with you there. I think Tadlock would probably disagree with you there, too. I think most Tech fans would disagree with you, too. Just look at how many of them live in Austin. After they graduate.
That just means they're the smart Tech fans.
Dude, Tech was embarrassed. Yeah. Tech was embarrassed by Chris Beard leaving. And they did everything they could, right? They offered the lifetime contract to Chris Beard, but that was like a really, really bad look. So Kirby Hoka did not want to let that happen again. And now you've got A&M open. You've got Rice now open. I mean, you're going to have some other big jobs open this
LSU.
Offseason, too. You mentioned LSU earlier, KD. Make sure you lock your guy down to send a message to everybody else that he's not leaving, and we take this thing seriously. We're willing to pay and do whatever it takes to be a legit program. So good for Tech.
Wouldn't surprise me. So Rice got rid of their guy after 3 years, and, you know, I mean, it goes to show you, Rod, you were laughing. That's like the one program that they have where the expectations are high.
For Rice baseball,
right?
Yeah. Yes, sir, you're right.
Football, you go 4-8. It's like, hey.
Stay there for 15 years.
Bad job there, Mr. Bailiff or
damn
whoever
good,
it is, right?
Yeah.
But with baseball, they got rid of their guy. And so Sean Allen could be a name. Sean Allen's done a really good job here and could be a name that they look at.
Interesting. You know, the coach they just fired was the coach that Texas beat.
Tennessee Tech. Yeah,
in the Super Regional in 2018. Mm. Just an ironic note there that probably doesn't matter to anything.
The connections, man. Especially in the coaching sense.
I will say this. At the time, I thought that was a really strange hire.
Yeah.
Like, just the connection. He had obviously a really good offensive club at Tennessee Tech. But also when I think of Rice and Rice's heyday, it's about pitching.
Are they ever going to get back to their heyday?
No.
Okay.
And Texas won't either, to where Texas isn't going to go to Omaha 8 times in 10 years. A lot of that's just, look, there's a lot more
competition.
The sport's a lot more competitive, Rod. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more competition. Mm-hmm. And especially schools like Texas, Rice could maybe pull this off. If you're not pulling the Vanderbilt thing where you're legitimately giving out 28 rides and it's completely unfair, then you're not going to be able to really dominate, I don't think.
You can't monopolize the talent.
You can't.
Yeah.
And now you got Texas Tech. You've got Baylor that's made runs. You got TCU. You got different programs. You got options in the state.
Yep. No doubt. All right. What's on tap, BK? What you got for tonight?
NBA playoffs.
Sports.
And Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay.
And baseball.
Don't get
Did you really go to NASCAR yesterday?
Yeah.
With golf on?
Yeah. And then I watched it on the phone and I T-voted golf.
Man's obsessed.
All right.
I got a free ticket.
Goes to sporting events while watching other sports while he's at the sporting event.
Yeah, first time NASCAR was in Austin.
It was raining. They had to put wipers on.
Yeah, they put wipers on.
It was cool. It made it tougher for the drivers. They did have to,
I actually did think about that.
They did have to call the race a little
short. I was going to say, tough for the drivers, but not as fun to watch.
No, but my cousin won some money on Chase Elliott.
Of course.
Winning some money.
Of course.
So that made it good. Nah, fun experience out of Dakota. Hopefully they come back despite the weather. That was disappointing.
Did you see Rodney out there?
Yeah, they're coming back.
Nah, Rodney was...
Oh, he was out. He was like down on the track.
He's got the hookups.
Rodney was big time.
He's got the exclusive. Him and Stu, like, there's
he was
no
like
way.
In the pit. He's like in the pit and everything.
You think I'm allowed to hang out with those dudes?
I know Stu was there. Stu was at Q2 today.
Was he really?
Yeah, for the announcement.
Stu's been everywhere, man.
He is.
Stu's all about town, man.
We are fully covered with Stu, Rodney, and Snoop.
Snoop!
And then throw in Craig and BK. And we probably got someone at some
That's why we can sit at
here.
Home and watch Netflix.
Exactly, which is what we're going to do tonight with some NBA. You got Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis coming up next, then Instant Serious after that. We will be back tomorrow. Appreciate y'all listening. Get the Horn app. Get to hornfm.com if you want to podcast any of the shows. For the All-American Rod Babers, for the MVP Brad Callender, I'm Kevin Dunn. We'll see you tomorrow night, or see you tomorrow. Peace.